friend of mine, Blair Garner, is the host of a program called After Midnight. Now, he's on close to 300 radio stations around the country, a different format. He's on almost the same time that I'm on, okay? He is one of the most successful air personalities in the country, winning the Academy of Country Music's On-Air Personality Award in 2004, and a darn good guy. Now, his office is down the hallway from mine, and a couple nights ago, he said, look, I need your advice on something, George. And he began to tell me one compelling story. And I said, you know, Blair, I want you to share that with our coast-to-coast audience. So he has put this story together for you. I want you to listen to it, and then we'll continue with open lines. This is a ghost story.
Thank you, George. You know, actually, probably we do share a lot of listeners. After Midnight, of course, on at the same time as your program. I don't know if you realize this or not. A couple of things I have to tell you in advance of the story so that it all makes sense when you hear it. After Midnight, we broadcast in just under 300 cities across the country, and the phone company is able to tell us how many attempted telephone calls we get per night. It averages about 50,000 attempted phone calls per night at After Midnight. And of those 50,000 calls, I personally may speak with five or six people, people that are playing contests, stuff like that. So the chances of getting through are, you know, kind of pulling the curtain back, the man behind the curtain, but it's not that great that you actually get through and necessarily speak with the host. That's one thing that you need to know. Another thing that you need to know is that my mother, before she died, her family nickname was Bird, and there are a number of things that will later relate to. What else do you need to know? I'm from a small town called Canyon, Texas. Canyon is a very small town south of Amarillo, and the cemetery in our hometown is called Dreamland Cemetery. It's about, I don't know, 5 miles south of the city, if you can call Canyon a city. And it's just surrounded by pastures. There's nothing else out there. It's right off a farm to Market Road. All right, on to the story. Growing up, I had a friend named Hank Dodson. Hank and I were in Cub Scouts together. We were in Weeblos together. We were in first grade together with Mrs. Henry. And we knew each other. I never met Hank's dad. I always remember his mom dropping him off at school in a 67 Chevy Biscayne, blue. I don't know why I remember that, but Hank was a nice kid. And when we got to sixth grade, all kids went one of two ways. You could either be in the band or you could be in the choir. Well, my dad was a band director, so I really didn't have much of a choice. I had to be in the band. Hank went the choir route. And from that point, our paths kind of split. But we always knew who each other was. We were always very friendly to each other. When we were in high school, Hank was in the student council and very involved in campus. Anyway, we graduated in 1982. In 1984, I returned home from school in Austin. I was at the University of Texas and had joined some old high school classmates for dinner at Binnigan's. And as we left, one of the folks said, "It's really a shame about Hank, isn't it?" And I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "You heard that Hank died." I said, "No, I had no idea." And they said, "Yeah, Hank died of AIDS, and his own family didn't come to his funeral." It was just, I mean, it's really sad. Well, some time passed, and in 1994, my mother died, and I was just grief-stricken. It was arguably the worst day of my life. She was my best friend, and I still remember as we went to my mom's funeral. I didn't know where the gravesite was going to be in advance of that, of course, but walking up to the gravesite, I looked over and I saw Hank's tombstone. Hank Dodson, it said on his headstone. Well, I just made a mental note of it at the funeral. And after that, living here in Los Angeles, I would fly back home to Amarillo and then drive down to Canyon. And my dad and I, we would always visit my mother's gravesite. And about 2 years after Mama died, on a Saturday, Dad and I went to the cemetery. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, this is in the middle of pasture land. There's truly nothing else around there. And my father and I are the only humans within miles. And as we approached my mom's gravesite, I said to my dad, I said, you see that headstone over there? He said, Hank Dodson, who's that? I said, well, Hank is a classmate of mine. I went to school with Hank. He said, and he died? I said, yeah, he died in 84. He died of AIDS, and his own parents didn't come to his funeral. And my dad said, that's horrible. I said, yeah, it is. And you know, George, what was strange was that, you know, just knowing that Hank's body was entombed there, I had the feeling as if I were talking about someone in front of them. Although I knew, you know, well that Hank was gone, but I just had that strange feeling. Anyway, so we went to my mom's gravesite, and we visited there for a while. Well, now, bear in mind, this is on a Saturday, 1,600 miles away from where we work in Los Angeles. That night, the weekend version of After Midnight was on. At the time, it was hosted by a woman named Whitney Allen. And it was the same story with the weekend program, 50,000 attempted phone calls per night, and very few of them actually get through. Well, I had to be on the air the next night, Sunday night into Monday morning. And I walked into our studio here in Los Angeles, and when I approached the console where I stand behind the microphone, there was a note in Whitney Allen, the weekend host's handwriting, and it said, Blair, Hank Dodson, voted most witty, Canyon High School, 1982. Call to say hi. I don't think I have to tell you. I froze. I couldn't believe it. He called into the radio program on the very same day that I was in the middle of pasture land standing at Hank's burial plot. And you know what's even stranger is that I had forgotten that Hank was voted most witty in our graduating class. So I called Whitney, and I asked her, I said, Whit, is there anything that stands out in your mind about this phone call? And she said, you know, Blair, he sounded so happy. I mean, he just sounded really happy. I said, really? Anything else? She said, yeah, he was driving through Des Moines listening to us on the Hawk, which at the time was our affiliate radio station in Des Moines. Of all the 300 radio stations that After Midnight was on, they mentioned the one that was tied to a bird, my mom's nickname. Whitney said, why are you asking? I said, because Hank died in 1984. And of course, you can imagine her reaction, too. I've given a lot of thought about this. A lot of people were freaked out about it and felt upset by it. But it seemed to me that it was a very personal message, that if my mother had delivered a message to me, I wouldn't have been content in letting her go. I would have wanted her to stay, or I would have wanted more messages. I wouldn't have been content with just getting that and having that be it. But Hank was kind of this innocuous person in my past that could reach out to me from beyond and deliver a message that I interpreted as, my mom's fine, everything is okay, and you're good, we're all good. And some other people may not read it that way, but it's, that's the way that it made sense to me. I said that my mom's nickname was Bird. My entire family has had episodes of, during really stressful times in our lives, at the most unusual places, in the most incredible times, feathers appear before us. And, well, I told you some of the stories off the air, but anyway, that's basically my story. And I hope somebody made a connection with it.
Prior to that story, Blair did not believe in ghosts. He does now.